RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia to hold military air safety talks with Australia. Indonesian President Joko Widodo to hold cabinet meeting on Idul Fitri preparations. Indonesian government combats marine waste. Now the news in detail. In order to share experiences in air safety, the Indonesian Air Force will hold 2 days of talks with its Australian counterpart on April 10 to 12. Air Force Chief Operations Assistant Air Vice Marshal Bahrim recently said that in the event, Indonesian Air Force can combine all information to improve Indonesia's air safety. The event in April will be hosted by the Air Force's Commander of Operation 2 in Makassar, South Sulawesi. Air Force spokesperson Air Commodore Jemmy Trisonjaya also said that such talks were routine for the Air Force. Besides meeting with Australian airmen, Indonesia is also actively involved in talks with Middle Eastern countries, some which use the Hawk-type fighter aircraft. Bahrim said the two countries would also discuss efforts to reduce air incidents in Indonesia. He added that Indonesian Air Force is not birds, so safety is number one. The Indonesian Air Force has been striving to reduce air incidents for a long time. The new appointed Air Force Chief of Staff, Air Chief Marshal Hadi Cahyanto, has announced a target of attaining zero accidents under his leadership. Indonesian President Joko Widodo is set to hold a limited cabinet meeting on Monday, April 3rd afternoon, to discuss the preparation of the Idul Fitri festive day, which will fall on June 25. The government has added June 27 as public holidays on account of Idul Fitri falling on Sunday. Idul Fitri is usually a 2-day holiday. Indonesian Administrative and Bureaucratic Reform Ministry, the Manpower Ministry, and the Religious Affairs Ministry have previously decided the Idul Fitri holiday will last 3 days from June 25 to 27. Indonesian Agriculture Ministry had also prepared 1,500 cattle to anticipate a jump in beef demand ahead of the Muslim festive day. Indonesian Transportation Ministry has said that the number of air passengers is expected to increase 7-9% during the holiday this year from the figure in same period last year. Indonesian government sets the Indonesia Clean Movement based on Presidential Instruction No. 12/2016 and forms a national research team in the field of health and environment. It was stated by Deputy Minister for Human Resources, Science and Technology and Maritime Culture of the Coordination Ministry of Maritime, Safri Burhanuddin, in a seminar in Jakarta Sunday. The seminar, themed Combating Marine Plastic Debris, was organized by the U.S. Embassy in Jakarta and the Coordination Ministry of Maritime in At America Pacific Place, Jakarta.
Kami dalam hal ini akan sudah membuat satu tim panitia nasional tim nasional kita katakan untuk menangani plastik di laut ini.
We had formed a national team to curb plastic waste in ocean. Now we have presidential instruction number 12/2016 on the Indonesian Clean Movement led by Coordination Minister of Maritime. We are formulating presidential regulation on marine plastic debris, which harmed the health of our next generation. The upcoming team will make research in health and environmental fields.
Safri Burhanuddin added, Indonesia, whose territorial area is 71% of water, is the second largest plastic producer in the world. 80% of the trash in waters comes from the land. The government also focuses on educating people against littering and on the impact of the waste. Deputy Minister for Human Resources, Science and Maritime Culture of Coordinating Ministry of Maritime Affairs, Safri Burhanuddin, attended a seminar on a joint movement to combat plastic waste in the ocean held in at America Pacific Place Mall in Jakarta over the weekend. Indonesia is the second biggest waste producer in the world, where the amount of plastic is already more than the fish and should be addressed immediately. To reduce the waste, the ministry is learning from India about the plastic recycling technology for road construction in order to save costs and improve the quality of the road.
Sebagaimana kita tahu, sampah yang ada di Indonesia berbeda dengan sampah yang ada di Eropa.
As we know, the garbage in Indonesia is different from the one in Europe. Our garbage is a mixture between wet and dry trash. So if we use garbage for waste energy, we need a lot of burning, which means more energy is used. We are learning from India the technology of road construction from plastic waste. The technology could save the cost of road construction up to 6% and 7%. The road could also last 10 until 20 years longer.
Safri Burhanuddin remarked that India is able to manage waste properly. He added that the largest waste producer in the world is China because of its population. India, with the second biggest population in the world, however, does not belong to the 10 biggest waste producer countries in the world. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi has urged state-owned port operator PT Pelindo 3 to accelerate the construction and the operation of Gilimas Seaport in Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara Province. He said that it is important to accelerate the construction of the airport to help ease traffic burden at the existing Lembar Seaport in Lombok. Minister Budi Sumadi said in a statement on Sunday, April 2nd, that he was that the construction of Gilimas Seaport is finished in two stages, the first one for cruise ships and ro-ro vessels, and is targeted to be completed by mid-2018, and the first one for containers that are expected to be completed in May 2019. In the meantime, PT Pelindo 3 Operational and Commercial Director Muhammad said that to build Gilimas Seaport, the company needs to reclaim an area of 22 hectares, and in relation to the land acquisition, he said 60 hectares of land are ready to be built. For the record, the groundbreaking ceremony for the construction of the seaport was done on December 22, 2016. The National Disaster Mitigation BNPB Chief Agency Willem Rampangile said residents of Ponorogo's Banaran village will be relocated. A total of 5 agencies and institutions are currently holding a study on this relocation effort, including the BNPB. The 5 institutions are the Center for Volcanology and Geological Hazard Mitigation, Gajah Mada University, Yogyakarta, Indonesian Public Works and Public Housing Ministry, and Indonesian Environment and Forestry Ministry. Willem said in a press release on Monday, April 3rd, that the region has agreed with people's suggestion to build relocation centers on their farms. Willem said there will first be a study to decide whether the proposed areas are safe from potential disasters. In the same occasion, the BNPB also handed a ready-to-use fund of 500 million rupiah for emergency disaster management. The funds will be used for operating costs related to emergency response. A landslide struck Banaran village in Pulung district, Ponorogo Region C, East Java, on Saturday, April 1. The emergency period started on April 2 and will end on April 15. To date, search and rescue operations are still being carried. The last item, 28 Indonesian brands are set to be exhibited at a pavilion in the Salon del Mobile, a furnishing and design fair in Milan, Italy, from April 4 to 9. Among the exhibiting brands is Kayu, a wood furniture producer. Kayu Managing Director Alexander Alvin Hanjoyo recently said that he wants to show that Indonesian woods, such as jati, snonokaling, and windy woods, possess charm, texture, beauty, and color that are very suitable to be used in furniture. Eduardo Stri Aryo, founder of Rattan of Indonesia, said that he intends to promote his furniture globally through this event. He recently said that he wants to show the beauty of Indonesian rattan, a material that can be used in a modern contemporary style of furniture. Meanwhile, Evanatasa, owner of Evanatasa, a contemporary furniture brand, said that she wants to show that Indonesian furniture has good contemporary style products. She also wishes to show the quality of local craftsmanship. Eva is also hopeful that Indonesian brands will gain appreciation from the international community through this event. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesia to hold military air safety talks with Australia. Indonesian President Joko Widodo to hold cabinet meeting on Idul Fitri preparation. Indonesian government combats marine waste. Listener, that was the news.
In collaboration with Indonesian Ministry of Tourism, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia present to you the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017 for listeners in Australia, Japan, South Korea, China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, India, and New Zealand. Indonesia is the biggest archipelago in the world, with 17,000 islands and 215 million people of more than 200 ethnic groups. This piece of heaven is blessed with the most diverse sceneries, beginning from the fertile fields in Java and Bali, deep into the rainforests of Sumatra, Borneo, and Sulawesi, followed by the vast savanna in Nusa Tenggara Island, reaching up to the snowy peak of West Papua. Moreover, its cultures are rich with various ancient temples, music, and ritual in different places. Everyone will be welcome here warmly and friendly, in the typical way of the Indonesian. Are you dreaming to visit Indonesia? Make it real by joining Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. You can be the lucky one to enjoy the beauty of Indonesia for free. Answer the following question. 1. What is the tagline of Indonesian tourism? 2. What is your favorite segment in Voice of Indonesia? 3. Tell us briefly why you want to visit Indonesia. Send your answer, personal data, your passport number, and passport expiry date to voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com. voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com before May 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia!
Open your mind, feel the warmth, see the smile, Friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me. People of the land, they dance and sing. Magnificent beauty of nature among the colors of heaven. This is a wonderful place. I feel loved, I feel wonderful, oh wonderful Indonesia.
Hello listener, it's nice to be with you in our program commentary. The title today is The End of Tax Amnesty Program. The tax amnesty program initiated by President Joko Widodo since July 2016 ended on Friday at around 12 EM Western Indonesian time. Indonesia Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani Indrawati expressed her gratitude, encouragement, hope, marking the end of the government program. Director General of Taxes at the Ministry of Finance, Ken Dwi Jugiastiadi, in a press conference on Saturday morning, said that for 9 months after the program was applied since July 1, 2016, the state revenue from the tax amnesty program reached 135 trillion rupiah. The participants of the tax amnesty program until Friday at around 11 p.m. reached 956,000 taxpayers. Although revenues from the tax amnesty program are increasing, Finance Minister Sri Mulyani is not satisfied with the performance achievement of the tax amnesty. This was proven by the realization that repatriation advance until closing of tax amnesty program only reached 121 trillion rupiah. Actually, the amount is quite expressive, especially considering pessimism among some of art cycles when the program was first launched. The repatriation commitment in the statement asset SPH reached 147 trillion rupiah. It means that there are still funds which have not entered into Indonesia. Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati said some causes had made the taxpayers unable to enter their funds into the country. One of them was due to regulatory constraint in the country of origin. Most taxpayers have already intended to follow the repatriation, but due to very strict regulation, they could not do it. The taxpayers who want to repatriate must take steps so that their money is said to be legitimate and do not violate the laws, such as undergoing the anti-money laundering test. In addition to regulatory constraints, Minister Sri Mulyani, who was former World Bank Managing Director, added that another cause making the taxpayer difficult to do repatriation is because their property abroad is not a movable property. Although the state revenue from the tax amnesty program has not reached the target, the efforts of government and tax officials in attracting taxpayers to pay taxes should be appreciated. Besides, the award must also be given to the taxpayer who had participated in the program. Participating in the tax amnesty program has helped the government in accelerating the economic growth, such as to boost domestic liquidity, to improve the rupiah, to lower interest rates, and to increase the investment. This is part of tax reform towards a more equitable tax system and the expansion of more valid, comprehensive, and integrated database of taxation, and increased tax revenues which will be used to finance the development across Indonesia. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History. We begin with an event which occurred on 3rd April 1922, when Joseph Stalin was appointed General Secretary of the Central Committee of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union. Joseph Vissarionovich Stalin was the leader of the Soviet Union from mid-1920s until his death in 1953. Held in the post of General Secretary of the Central Committee of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union, he was an effective dictator of the state. Stalin was one of the seven members of the first Politburo, founded in 1917 in order to manage the Bolshevik Revolution along with Lenin, Zinoviev, Kamenev, Trotsky, Sokolnikov, and Bukhnov. Among the Bolshevik revolutionaries who took part in the Russian Revolution of 1917, Stalin was appointed as General Secretary of the Party Central Committee in 1922. He managed to consolidate power following the 1924 death of Vladimir Lenin by suppressing Lenin's criticisms in the postscript of his testament and expanding the function of his role. He remained General Secretary until the post was abolished in 1952, concurrently serving as the Premier of the Soviet Union from 1941 until 1953. Well, listener, the next event was in 1930 about the birth of Helmut Kohl. Dr. Helmut Kohl is a German conservative politician and statesman. He served as a Chancellor of Germany from 1982 to 1998. Kohl became Chancellor with the longest term, namely 16 years. Replacing Otto von Bismarck, Kohl was regarded as the greatest European leader in the 20th century by US President George W. Bush and Bill Clinton. He also contributed in preparing the Maastricht Treaty that formed the European Union, EU, and encouraged the establishment of a single currency of Euro. And the last event was in 1948, the Marshall Plan was signed. Marshall Plan was a large-scale economic program in 1947 to 1951 by United States, which aims to rebuild the economic strength of countries in Europe after World War II ended. The initiative of the naming was taken from the name of U.S. Secretary of State George Marshall. Marshall Plan aid distribution was not only for European countries but also Asian countries affected by the World War II. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahman.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Focus. The theme of today's Focus is that Indonesia and Brazil enhance defense cooperation. Listeners, the governments of Indonesia and the Federal Republic of Brazil established cooperation in the defense field. The cooperation agreement was signed by the Minister of Defense, Riamizat Riakudu, and witnessed by Brazilian Ambassador to Indonesia, Ruben Antonio Correa Barbosa, at the building of the Ministry of Defense in Central Jakarta on last Thursday, March 30, 2017. Furthermore, the document, the cooperation agreement, will be signed Brazilian Defense Minister Balance Raul Jungmann Pinto in Brazil. Minister Riamizat Riakudu hopes with the signing of the cooperation between the two countries in the field of defense, as the military activities, the defense industry, and other forms of cooperation will increase. In a press release, he explained that the scope of cooperation between Indonesia and Brazil includes the exchange of visits of high-level military delegations at the Ministry of Defense of both countries, holding meetings between defense and military institutions, enhancements of the development of human resources in the defense institutions through education, and the exchange of knowledge and experience in the field of military operations, intelligence, and international peacekeeping operations. In addition, the cooperation also includes the exchange of scientific experience and defense technology and enhancements of defense industrial cooperation. Minister Riami Zartriakudu also pointed out that his side will invite some directors of PT Dirgantara Indonesia, PT Pindad, and PT PAL to make a visit to Brazil in a bid to see the defense industry in Brazil. He also said that after signing the agreement, Indonesia will enhance cooperation with Brazil in regards to the transfer of defense industry technology. So far, the established cooperation has been only on the technical scope, for example, related to the purchase of main weaponry system. Minister Riami Zarf views that Indonesia never bought a single engine aircraft, EMB-314 Super Tucano manufactured by Embraer or Empresa Brasileira de Aeronautica, Brazil. In 2012, Embraer had sent 4 light attack aircraft type A-29 Super Tucano to the Indonesian Air Force. The 4 planes are part of the 8 similar ones ordered by Indonesia in 2010 to replace the fleet of aircraft OV-10 Bronco. Minister Riami Zarf added that in the past, Indonesia only purchased some aircraft from Brazil, but there was no technological transfer or cooperation in the development potential of the domestic defense industry. Minister Riami Zarf also affirmed that nowadays, several countries are interested in building a plan to produce main weaponry system in Indonesia. The countries that have offered cooperation are like France and Denmark. Minister Riami Zarf Triakudu added that the cooperation agreement with Brazil is a follow-up of the joint declaration on strategic partnership between the two countries, which was signed by Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Republic Indonesia and Brazil on October 15, 2008. Listener, that was Focus for today. I'm Dinu Graha. Thank you for listening.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. In order to share experiences in air safety, the Indonesian Air Force will hold 2 days of talks with its Australian counterpart on April 10 to 12. Air Force Chief Operation Assistant Air Vice Marshal Bahrim recently said that in the event, Indonesian Air Force can combine all information to improve Indonesia's air safety. Indonesian President Joko Widodo is set to hold a limited cabinet meeting on Monday, April 3rd afternoon to discuss the preparation of the Eid al-Fitri festive day, which will fall on June 25. The government has added June 27 as public holidays on account of Eid al-Fitri falling on Sunday. Indonesian government sets the Indonesia Clean Movement based on Presidential Instruction No. 12/2016 and forms a national research team in the fields of health and environment. It was stated by Deputy Minister for Human Resources, Science and Technology and Maritime Culture of the Coordination Ministry of Maritime, Safri Burhanuddin, in a seminar in Jakarta on Sunday. Deputy Minister for Human Resources, Science and Maritime Culture of Coordinating Ministry of Maritime Affairs, Safri Burhanuddin, attended a seminar on a joint movement to combat plastic waste in the ocean held in at America Pacific Place Mall in Jakarta over the weekend. Indonesia is the second biggest waste producer in the world, where the amount of plastic is already more than the fish and should be addressed immediately, he said. Indonesian Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi has urged state-owned port operator PT Pelindo III to accelerate the construction and the operation of Gilima Seaport in Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara Province. The National Disaster Mitigation BNPB Chief Willem Rapangile said residents of Ponorogo's Banaran Village will be relocated. A total of 5 agencies and institutions are currently holding a study on this relocation effort. 28 Indonesian brands are set to be exhibited at a pavilion in the Salon del Mobile, a furnishing and design fair in Milan, Italy, from April 4 to 9. Among the exhibiting brands is Kayu, a wood furniture producer. Kayu Managing Director Alexander Alvin Hanjoyo recently said that he wants to show that Indonesian woods such as jati, sonokeling, and mindy woods possess charm, texture, beauty, and color that are very suitable to be used in furniture. Listener, that was the news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
In collaboration with Indonesian Ministry of Tourism, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia present to you the Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017 for listeners in Australia, Japan, South Korea, China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, India, and New Zealand. Indonesia is the biggest archipelago in the world, with 17,000 islands and 215 million people of more than 200 ethnic groups. This piece of heaven is blessed with the most diverse sceneries, beginning from the fertile fields in Java and Bali, deep into the rainforests of Sumatra, Borneo, and Sulawesi, followed by the vast savanna in Nusa Tenggara Island, reaching up to the snowy peak of West Papua. Moreover, its cultures are rich with various ancient temples, music, and ritual in different places. Everyone will be welcome here warmly and friendly, in the typical way of the Indonesian. Are you dreaming to visit Indonesia? Make it real by joining Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2017. You can be the lucky one to enjoy the beauty of Indonesia for free. Answer the following question. 1. What is the tagline of Indonesian tourism? 2. What is your favorite segment in Voice of Indonesia? 3. Tell us briefly why you want to visit Indonesia. Send your answer, personal data, your passport number, and passport expiry date to voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com. voiwiquiz2017@gmail.com before May 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia!
Open your mind, feel the warmth, see the smile, friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me. People of the land, they dance and sing, magnificent beauty of nature among the colors of heaven. Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder, and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Plaosan Temple in Central Java. Stay tuned. Klaten Regency is one of areas in Central Java which directly borders with Yogyakarta. Topographically, it is located in between Mount Merapi and Mount Seribu. So, possibly, this area has many natural tourism objects, such as climbing the mountain and water tour like Umbul Jolotundo, Umbul Manten, and many others. Besides natural tour, Klaten also offers historical tour for visitors who are interested in historical spots in this area. One of them is Plauasan Temple, which is located at Plauasan Hamlet, Bugisan Village, Prambanan Sub-District, Klaten Regency, Central Java. Listeners, Plauasan Temple is ancient building complex which consists of Plauasan Lor Temple Complex and Plauasan Kidul Temple Complex. Plauasan Temple, which is Buddhist temple, was predicted to be built in the era of Rakai Pikatan government of the Kingdom of Mataram Hindu in the 9th century of Christian. In the Kri Kahulunan inscription, it was stated that Plauasan Lor Temple was built by Ratu Sri Kahulunan, who was supported by her husband Rakai Pikatan. At the time, Ratu Sri Kahulunan was Buddhist while Rakai Pikatan was Hindus. Listeners, Plauasan Lor Temple Complex has two main temples. The temple which is located in the north is named the North Main Temple with relief which describes women's figures, while Plauasan Lor Temple, which is located at the south, is named the South Main Temple with relief men's figures. At the northern complex, there is still terrace or open terrace with some Buddhist statues. The two main temples have six Dhyani Bodhisattva statues. Although this temple is Buddhist temple, the architecture style is collaboration between Buddha and Hindu. Listeners, people surrounding the temple annually hold twin temple festival at the temple's complex. This festival is the only cultural festival in big scale which is held in Klaten. If you want to visit this temple, you only pay the entrance tickets and sign the guest book. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Plauasan Temple in Central Java Province. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Kegiatan Akhir Pekan, which in English means weekend's activity. Stay tuned. Listener, as usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I say the sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. Kegiatan. Kegiatan in English, activity. Akhir pekan. Akhir pekan in English, weekend. Banyak sekali. Banyak sekali in English, so many. Pagi hari. Pagi hari in English, morning. Berbelanja. Berbelanja in English, to shop. Memasak. Memasak in English, to cook. Membaca buku. Membaca buku in English, to read a book. Jalan-jalan. Jalan-jalan in English, to go somewhere. Mengunjungi keluarga. Mengunjungi keluarga in English, to visit family. Rencana. Rencana in English, plan. Sarapan. Sarapan in English, breakfast. Ngobrol-ngobrol. Ngobrol-ngobrol in English, to chat. Mall. Mall in English, mall. Malam hari. Malam hari in English, in the evening or at night. Nonton film. Nonton film in English, to watch a movie. Setuju. Setuju in English, to agree. Toko buku. Toko buku in English, bookstore. Membeli. Membeli in English, to buy. Novel. Novel in English, novel. Kamis. Kamis in English, Thursday. Telepon. Telepon in English, telephone. Now, listener, we give you an example of conversation entitled Kegiatan Akhir Pekan, or in English means weekend's activity. The conversation is between A. Mary and B. Anna at the office. Mary, Anna, apa saja kegiatan kamu di akhir pekan? Anna, apa saja kegiatan kamu di akhir pekan? In English, Anna, what is your activity on the weekend? Anna, banyak sekali. Banyak sekali. In English, there are so many activities. Misalnya, pagi hari saya jogging. Setelah itu, berbelanja. Memasak, membaca buku, jalan-jalan, atau kadang mengunjungi keluarga. Misalnya, pagi hari saya jogging. Setelah itu, berbelanja, memasak, membaca buku, jalan-jalan, atau kadang mengunjungi keluarga. In English, like in the morning, I usually do jogging, afterward shopping, cooking, reading a book, going somewhere, or sometimes visiting family or relatives. Mary, akhir pekan ini apa rencana kamu? Akhir pekan ini apa rencana kamu? In English, what is your plan for this weekend? Anna, akhir pekan ini saya belum ada rencana. Akhir pekan ini saya belum ada rencana. In English, I have no plan this weekend. Kamu? Kamu? In English, how about you? Mary, bagaimana kalau akhir pekan ini kita jogging bersama? Bagaimana kalau akhir pekan ini kita jogging bersama? In English, why don't we go jogging together this weekend? Setelah itu, kita sarapan sambil ngobrol-ngobrol. Setelah itu, kita sarapan sambil ngobrol-ngobrol. In English, after that, we have breakfast while chatting. Kemudian kita jalan-jalan di mall, dan kemudian malam hari kita nonton film. Kemudian kita jalan-jalan di mall, dan kemudian malam hari kita nonton film. In English, then we go shopping to a mall and going to cinema in the evening. Ana, tentu saja saya setuju. Tentu saja saya setuju. In English, I certainly agree. Oh ya, saya juga mau ke toko buku. Oh ya, saya juga mau ke toko buku. In English, oh, I also want to go to a bookstore. Mary, kamu mau membeli buku apa di toko buku? Kamu mau membeli buku apa di toko buku? In English, what books do you want to buy? Anna, saya mau membeli novel. Saya mau membeli novel. In English, I want to buy a novel. Mary, baiklah, hari Kamis saya telepon kamu. Baiklah, hari Kamis saya telepon kamu. In English, all right, I will call you on Thursday. Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thank you for your attention. See you tomorrow. And sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back in our regular segment of Music Corner, which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, let's listen to some Indonesian Kroncong songs by Ismanto. Well, listener, to initiate this segment of Music Corner, we'll play for you the first song entitled Kroncong Saputangan by Ismanto.
Saput tangan yang harum bahunya menawan hatiku. Basah air mataku karena datangnya tangisku. Saput tangan yang dulu ku terima dari kekasihku. Pada masa dahulu berdua, pertama bertemu, penuh dengan rencana dan janji, telah disetujui. Meskipun bagaimana terjadi, sehidup semati, sapu tangan di waktu sekarang, bagai hiburanku, karena kekasihku sekarang tinggalkan diriku. Bagaimana terjadi sehidup semati, sapu tangan di waktu sekarang bagai karena kekasihku sekarang tinggalkan diriku.
The song Sapu Tangan is one of original Keroncong songs. The song was composed by Indonesian Keroncong maestro Gesang. The song tells about a gift from beloved one, a piece of handkerchief. However, the gift now becomes a solace. The Keroncong songs began to popular in Indonesia after the Dutch left the country in 1950. At the time, the newcomer of singers came and popular as the Keroncong legendary singers such as Ismanto and Waljina. The ability of Ismanto to bring the songs of Keroncong genre was not in doubt. In 1960s, the music of Javanese Keroncong was quite developed, a number of singers coloring the music, including Ismanto. Well, listener, now let's listen to the coming song entitled Bhakti by Ismanto.
Kejayaan tanah airku, ada bimbang lagi. Ini tujuan baktiku. Di alam bebas merdeka, aku ingin menunaikan bakti, memohon restu dewa agar ditabahkan hati.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.